Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look at it together this morning, you will speak to us from it. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be at work within our hearts and minds, that we would truly hear from you. Amen. Well, I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that we all worry. We all have things that we worry about. We all have things that we're concerned about. We all have things that we're anxious about. We worry about the world around us and we worry about ourselves. We worry about Brexit. We worry about will it happen. We worry about when it will happen. And we worry about what will happen if it happens and when it happens. We worry about our family and we worry about our friends. We wonder where they're up to. We worry about that. We worry about the future. We don't quite know what it holds. We even worry about our football team, some of us with more justification than others. We worry and are anxious about so many things. Why? Why is it that we worry? Well, because life is full of challenges. Because we know that there are things that are difficult. We know there are things that we face that are difficult. We know there are things that others face that are difficult. As we go through life, we get a greater and greater and greater appreciation of all the things that can possibly go wrong in any particular set of circumstances. I don't think that's why young people are necessarily freer from worry. It's not because they're carefree. It's just because they haven't learned like we have all the possible things that might go wrong. Whereas we know all the things that might go wrong, and therefore we are anxious about them. More than that, of course, we worry because there's stuff that we'd like to be able to fix that we can't fix. When you have small children, it doesn't always feel this at the time, but it's actually generally pretty easy to fix their problems. Usually, you can get away with saying, "Don't worry, it'll be all right. Why don't you have some sweets?" And more often than not, not always, but more often than not, that will basically deal with the issue. I have found that's less successful with teenagers. Still take the sweets, but it won't fix the problem. That's the reality of life, isn't it? There is stuff that we would like to be in control of, but we're not in control of it. We talk, don't we, these days about helicopter parenting. The image is one that's unattractive to any parent. The idea that you could sort of fly in, sort of SAS style, into any particular difficult circumstances that your children faced, however old they were, and fix it for them, that's an attractive idea. Of course, it doesn't work, but nevertheless, it's an attractive idea. There's plenty to worry about, isn't there? There's plenty that we might become anxious about. And yet at the same time, we know that it isn't good for us. We know it doesn't do any good. Worrying about something doesn't solve anything. We know we need to be less anxious. We know we need to worry less. But how? What is the antidote to worrying? Well, come back with me to Matthew 6, because here Jesus deals with worry, with anxiety, with being anxious about our lives, and gives us three antidotes, very much interrelated, of course, three antidotes to worry, three antidotes to being anxious, three things to help us as we deal with being worried and anxious. Let's look at them then this morning. We'll work through this passage from Matthew 6 together and see three reasons, three antidotes to worry. The first of them is there in verses 25 to 30. The first antidote is to trust in God's sovereignty and goodness. Look with me at verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So this passage begins with a therefore. It's related to what's gone before. It's related to what Jesus has just said about money. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. And Jesus gives here a very straightforward instruction, really. It's not terribly complicated, is it? Don't be anxious about body and soul. That is, don't be anxious about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Those two categories cover most of our daily needs, don't they? We need to be able to eat stuff to keep us alive, and we need to be able to cover up. These are the necessities of life that Jesus is talking about here. So we're not just talking, are we, purely about food and clothing? And that's important to us, of course, because those are probably the two things that we don't worry about. Certainly we don't worry about a lack of food or a lack of clothing, do we, on the whole? We might worry about precisely what to wear, and we might worry about eating too much, but generally we're not worried about a lack. But we are worried in other areas about the necessities of life. And Jesus says, don't worry about them. Don't be anxious about them. Why not? Well, look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus, in this passage, draws a couple of applications, a couple of examples from nature. Here's the first. Look at the birds, okay? They neither sow nor reap nor gather. They don't do all the things that you do to get themselves food, and yet they're fed by God. Yes, of course, we know, don't we, that the birds still need to gather food. And we know, of course, that not every bird gathers enough food. We've seen enough wildlife documentaries to know that generally when there's three eggs in the nest and two of them hatch, one of them survives. But generally the principle stands still, doesn't it? God provides for his creation. God provides for the birds. And, of course, you're much more important than they are. The birds were created by God, but the birds were not created in the image of God, like men and women. Human beings have been created in the image of God. We have a special place in the created order as those who, under God, are to look after the whole of creation. Though this argument that Jesus uses here relies on that reality, okay? Even the birds are cared for, and you're much more important than they are. You see, God is in charge. This is the way the argument works. God is in charge. He's sovereign. That's that word we use, isn't it? Trusting God's sovereignty. What are we talking about there? We're talking about the fact that God is in charge. He knows everything. He is in control of everything. And not only that, of course, God cares. He is good. Those two things we need to hold together, don't we? God's sovereignty, the fact that he's in charge of everything, and God's goodness, the fact that he cares for his whole creation, and he particularly cares, we're told here by Jesus, for human beings. Then a little aside in verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? We'll come back to that aspect of it later. It doesn't really help worrying. Worry doesn't put food on the table, does it? And so we get another example from nature. If the first example was about food, the second one's about clothing, 28 and 29. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus makes his point with almost outrageous language, doesn't he? Look at the flowers. Look at the lilies, look at the daffodils, look at the tulips, whatever you want to look at, whatever's out at the moment. Think about those. As you drive around Derbyshire at the moment, there are banks of daffodils everywhere, aren't there? Beautiful. And yet we know, don't we, and that's perhaps part of their beauty, we know that in a few weeks' time they'll be gone. And yet when we look at them now, they are things of such beauty. Jesus tells us, even more beautiful and impressive than Solomon. And we read from 1 Kings 10 about how impressive Solomon was, that when the Queen of Sheba came to visit him, she was impressed and in awe of all his magnificence. And God says, look, the flowers, look how beautiful the flowers are, and yet they will be gone tomorrow. And if God is going to make the created order look like that, then, verse 30, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? See the point that Jesus makes? The lilies, they might last for a few weeks. The grasses, well, they flower in a day and are gone, aren't they? The mower comes over them. We don't get to burn them anymore. We have to put them on the compost heap these days. But the point remains, doesn't it? The grass flowers, it withers, it is cut. It lasts but a day, and yet it looks beautiful And what about us? God cares for us so much more. Consider God's provision for that which is temporary. How much more will he provide for you? See the challenge there. O you of little faith. Or in the older language, O ye of little faith. See what this is an issue of? This is an issue of faith, isn't it? This is an issue of trust. This is an issue of having confidence in God and God's provision. See, as I put that up on the screen, what's it say there? Trusting God's sovereignty and goodness. You're all looking at it and thinking, yeah, okay, it's fine. Yeah, I get that. He's talked about God's sovereignty before. I know he has. Kingdom, all that kind of stuff. And he's talked about how God is good. We've heard that. And I know that's true. Yeah, God is good. We read about that in the Psalms all the time. Yeah, sovereignty, goodness, no problem with that at all. Nothing controversial there at all. Okay? So tell you what the slightly more controversial bit about it is. It is living according to that. That's the thing we need to cultivate. I know you know it's true. We all know it's true. But it's trusting in God's sovereignty and trusting in God's goodness that's the issue. Not acknowledging it. Acknowledging it is fine. Trusting in it. Living by it. When we read verse 30 and it says, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? Are we there saying, yeah, but hang on, come on. I know there's some caveats to this. Where does our confidence lie? We need to trust that God is sovereign. He provides. He is in charge. He is the one who is sovereign over all things, not us. And therefore, we need to trust in him. Trusting in ourselves to sort everything out is not going to work because our capacities are limited. But we trust in God, and he is good. He cares for us. He loves us. He cares for the whole of his creation. He cares particularly for the people he has called to himself. So that's what we trust in. Now, this isn't saying that life is always going to be easy. It's not saying that we'll never be in want. It's not saying that there won't be times when life is difficult. Of course, Jesus knew that. Those who were listening to him in the first century knew all about that much better than we do. It's about a basic confidence in God's provision, isn't it? It's about trusting in the one who can actually do something about it. And that's God. After all, in all of this, remember the particular application of God's sovereign care for us that we are aware of every time, rightly, that we read the New Testament, every time we think about Jesus. Remember that God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and to live among us and to die for us. Now, of course, when we look at that, what we primarily focus on, quite rightly, is that on the cross, Jesus Christ took the punishment that we deserve. He died for our sins, didn't he? So that if we want to know God, we can know God. We can have a restored relationship with him because we can trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us, our substitute who died in our place, and we can have forgiveness of sins and new life. And obviously, when we talk about the cross, that's where we tend to focus our attention, rightly. But don't also miss, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, as an enormous piece of provision for us. The prime example of God's sovereignty and goodness, doing this thing that no one else could do for us, and God's goodness to us, his care for us, his love for us, shown in Jesus Christ. So the first antidote to worry is to trust in God's sovereignty and goodness. He is in charge and he is good. Every time we sit down with a problem and it starts to get on top of us, we need to cultivate coming to God in prayer and we need to cultivate saying, Lord, I know that you are in charge and I know that you are good and so I will trust in you. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do anything, but it does mean that that's the basic place we need to start. We are not in charge of everything. God is. That's the first antidote to worry. Trust in God's sovereignty and goodness. The second, well, we need to care about the things God cares about. Look at verses 31 and 32 with me. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Yes, of course, we need these things. Everybody needs them, even the pagans, the Gentiles. Everybody needs, everybody in the whole world needs food and clothing. That's the basic necessities of life are needed by everybody. We're reminded here, of course, that God, our heavenly Father, is the one that we pray to. He is the one we pray, give us this day our daily bread. When we pray that prayer a little bit later after communion, reflect on that. What are we praying there? We're praying confident trust in God, aren't we? That he is the one who provides for us. Give us this day our daily bread. That, of course, is not just about food. It's about clothing. It's about all the things that we need. God knows our need. He is our heavenly Father. It's another way of saying what we've already said, isn't it, about God's sovereignty and goodness. He is in charge and he cares. Fine, said all that. But more, look at the next verse, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are we most concerned about? That's the question that comes up here, isn't it? What are we bothered about most? You see, we're anxious about things, okay? We're concerned about things. Concerned is the one you're allowed to have, isn't it? You're allowed to be concerned, not anxious. Remember that. We're concerned about things. Okay? What are we concerned about? What bothers us? What are the things we worry about? You see, just as we pray, give us this day our daily bread when we pray the Lord's Prayer, slightly earlier we've also prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then think about what we've just seen in that passage we read last week from Matthew 6 about Jesus saying, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. You see, what is Jesus getting at in this verse? He's getting at this. He's getting at our attitude, at our heart, about where our heart is. What are the things that we really, really care about? What are the things that are most important to us? You see, one of the things that Jesus is doing through the whole of this Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at and will continue to look at up to Easter is he is realigning our hearts and souls and mind and strength to what we really need to be concerned about and what are the things that matter most. This is about being kingdom people, isn't it? And being kingdom people means being concerned for the things of the kingdom, being concerned for the things that God is concerned about and God wants us to be concerned about. If we're concerned about the things of God, then we can have confidence in God's provision. And the things we care about most are the things we need most. However, if we care about earthly treasures, if the things that we're most concerned about are the things that affect us now immediately, that which fades away, that which rusts, that which does not last, then of course we are going to constantly worry about them because we're worrying about the wrong things. Do you see that? If we get ourselves wrapped up in worrying about stuff that isn't the most important thing, that isn't the things of the kingdom, then the fleeting nature of those things and the fact that those things don't last will mean that we will just worry and worry and worry. Let me give you just one example that's tragically prevalent in our modern world. It's always been a problem for human beings, particular problem today. Think about trusting in your good looks. I've never done that. Think about trusting in your good looks. That's just not going to work, is it? It might work for a time. You might get away with it for a few years. This doesn't matter. I'm not talking about women particularly. I'm talking about women and men. There's plenty of it around. It might work for a while. You might be able to get quite a lot with your good looks when you're young. But as time passes, well, the way people think about good looks changes, doesn't it? And because it's a particular kind of good look that's the look that people are out for, well, once you get to a certain age, you're not going to be trusting them anymore, are you? That's a fleeting thing, isn't it? That's the wrong thing to worry about. And that will just lead us to more worry. That is not what God is interested in. God is interested in the heart. God does not look at what is outside. He looks at what is inside. And so the second antidote, as well as trusting God, trusting in God's sovereignty, trusting in his goodness, we also need to actually prioritize and be concerned about the things that God is concerned about. We're to care about heavenly treasures. We're to care about the things of the kingdom. And there we will find a place of contentment and peace and confidence, because we're actually concerned about the things that are important, and we can have absolute confidence that God is going to sort these things out. That's the second antidote to worry, isn't it? Care about the things God cares about. Put your energies there. And then finally, what do we need to do? Well, let's take the final piece of instruction Jesus offers us. And I've summarized it like this. Verse 34, get on with life now. Get on with life now. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is Jesus saying here? Well, tomorrow, the future, anything beyond today is uncertain and increasingly uncertain. We know that, don't we? We know that tomorrow is going to, a lot of what happens tomorrow is going to depend on what happens today. And as you go through the days and weeks, the further away you get, the more uncertain things become. We know that. Okay? Sometimes you'll sit with someone and they'll be saying, well, what if X, Y, Z, A, B, and C happen? You think, well, just worry about it when it comes. There's six or seven different things that may or may not happen between now and then. I wouldn't worry about some kind of possibility, which is increasingly statistically unlikely, the further away you go. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is uncertain. And after all, frankly, there are enough things to deal with today. There's enough on our plate today without worrying too much about tomorrow. There's no point in worrying about it, we saw in verse 27, doesn't it? It doesn't help. And more than that, given that God is in control, given that we should be caring about what he cares about, well, we need to stop doing what we're doing when we worry about tomorrow. What is it we're doing when we worry about tomorrow? Well, so very often we're doing this. We're trying to be in control of everything. That's our problem, isn't it? As much as anything else, wanting to be in control of everything. Most of us have lived in a world and grown up in a world where we have a large, a much greater measure of control over our lives than many human beings have had through history, and that many human beings have in the world today. We are not beholden to others for so many things. We are independent. We are able to supply our own food needs. We're able to supply our own clothing needs and other needs as well on the whole. That's not a bad thing, okay? It's a good thing, all right? But the danger with the amount of control that we have, because we have quite a lot, is that we start to think that we absolutely control everything. We need to distinguish, don't we, between the stuff that we can do something about. Our attitudes and our actions. We can do something about that. We can try and trust God. We can seek to be those who trust in God's goodness and sovereignty. We can seek to align ourselves with the kingdom. We can look at the attitudes of our hearts. We can think, right, this is the action that I'm going to take. But then there's a whole big set of things that we care about, but which we can't control. That's the stuff of tomorrow. That's the stuff that we're not in charge of. And some of those things that we're not in charge of are really important to us. I'll give you an example. We're not in charge of the attitudes and the actions of those we love. Let me say that again. We are not in charge of the attitudes and the actions of those we love. Yes, of course, we can have an influence on them. Of course we can. We can help or hinder. But we're not sovereign over what other people do. We're not sovereign over what other people think. We're not sovereign over what other people say. The obvious application for that is we can't control our children's lives. Much as we'd like to sometimes. That's an increasing reality of being a parent, isn't it? As your children get older, you cannot control your children's lives. In fact, you shouldn't be trying to control your children's lives. Yes, influence, yes, help, all those things, but not control. That's the stuff of tomorrow. God's in charge of that, but we're not. And we really need to be able to distinguish between the two, don't we? We need to be able to distinguish between the stuff that is our business. It is our business to worry about our own attitudes and to be concerned about them and to change them. It is our business to think about how we're acting and to think, how do I act as the people that God, as a person that God wants me to be? How do I change and become the person God wants me to be? But we are not responsible for what everybody else is doing. Yes, we pray. Yes, we bring it before the Lord, but it is not in our gift. We are not in charge of it. Of course, we're concerned about them, but we are not in charge of what they are doing. And that enables us to get on with life, doesn't it? You see, because we're not in charge of things, if we try and pretend that we are, we will be paralyzed and unable to act. But if we limit ourselves to what's actually in our remit, if we say, this is what I can do something about and this is what I need to do something about, then we are empowered to act and we are empowered to be the people that God has called us to be, and we are able to do and to move forward. That's right, isn't it? That's what Jesus is saying to us here. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Jesus is not saying this world is going to be easy. He doesn't promise his followers that. We know that. We know that being a Christian in this world is particularly challenging. But we have a life to live where God is sovereign, where we can trust him because he is good, where we know what it is we're supposed to do, where we seek to be the people that he's called us to be, where we know the great gift that we have received of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so we live out that life, not with anxiety, but with peace and confidence in God's sovereignty and goodness, living today and then tomorrow, and only after that, the day after. Trusting, seeking to be the people that God has called us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we find in our lives so many things to worry about and so many things to be anxious about. We have circumstances, all of us here this morning, that we are troubled about this day. And things that we would like to be different and things that we would like to change. Lord, we bring that all before you now and pray that you would help us to trust in your sovereignty and in your goodness. More and more, help us to be concerned about the things you're concerned about, to love the things that you love, to seek righteousness above all. And Lord, may we understand what it is you want us to do, what it is you want us to be concerned about, and what is not our responsibility. And may we trust in your sovereignty, not seek to be in charge ourselves. Amen.